Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Travel Times Radio, and we are here tonight to talk about historic baseball with Betsy Irvin. But
hello
Betsy, I'm running a little late calling you, but are we okay and ready to go on your end?
We sure are.
Okay, great. And again, everybody out there listening, I apologize for making you listen to the dial tone, but when we're running late, that happens. So before we get started here, just I want to quickly do just a little bit of housework. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that we are opening up a chat room, so if anybody wants to participate that way, you can do that. And you can also, if you want to listen when you call in, to just listen through the phone instead of through the computer, you can call either 741-242-5253 or toll-free 1-877-633-9389. That's 1-877-633-9389. And you can also use those same numbers if you have a question or a comment you want to make. So be sure to keep those on the line to call too. We have our next travel time is already set up, and we're going to be talking with a gentleman who went to Guatemala on a service trip, and that one's going to be on September 3rd, so be sure to look ahead for that. And I think for now, that's the end of housekeeping. And we're going to go ahead and bring our guest Betsy back on the line. So, Betsy, why don't you start out just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I for the last 10 years, I've been working at the White House Historic Site as a lead interpreter. I do a lot of the programming on site. I've instituted a history day camp on site, along with a lot of other programs as well. I've got a real passion for history, and I'm just really lucky that I can do that at work.
Okay, so how did you get involved with historic baseball in the first place?
Well, I had a friend who was doing an internship at Old World, Wisconsin, and his job was to research and develop a historic baseball program down there, and he was having such a great time with it. He said, "Oh, Betsy, you just have to do this at White House." And I was absolutely convinced that Greenbush was just too small of a town to have ever had a baseball team. And when I was doing research, looking up information about something completely different, I happened to come across an article that did state that in 1871 there was a team in Greenbush that was called the Dead Cities. So we decided it would be great to resurrect the team, and that was in 2006. Hello? Oh dear. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm back. I'm sorry. We had an Adobe crash on my computer, but I'm back now.
Okay, great.
So I hope you didn't panic too much.
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. So we'd gotten into how far you were doing your gotten to your team there at the Wade House, and what is the name of the team you manage?
It's called the Dead Cities of Greenbush.
And who do you play against? Is there a league? Are there other teams? How does that work?
It's not really a league, or it is in an informal sense. It's not a real organized league. But we do play other vintage baseball teams in Wisconsin. We've actually played some from other states as well. But our main opponents are, the Eagle Diamonds from Old World, Wisconsin, which is another state historic site. We also play the Cream Cities, which is a vintage team that was formed in Milwaukee. There's also another vintage team in Milwaukee called the Milwaukee Grays that we have played. Then there's a couple other teams. Also from Milwaukee, there's the Deltons that we have played. And let me see, I'm trying to think. There are some other teams from like there's the Long Nine from Springfield, Illinois, is another team that we've played as well.
So are all of the teams that you play, do they all have some association with a living history site, or are there some independent site teams out there?
There are some independent ones. Actually, the Eagle Diamonds are the only team that we're playing right now that is associated with a historic site. All the rest have been independent teams.
So if you don't really have a league, is there any kind of real schedule, or
Well, we kind of, at the end of the year, November, December, we start looking at the calendar for the next year, and we kind of all we're always emailing each other to kind of set up games. Now, some of them we have a regular schedule at Wade House in that we like to play the third Sunday of the month. And so we've kind of gotten into a rotation of, in August we play the Eagle Diamonds. And, the first game and the last game of the season we generally play the Cream City. So we've got a little bit of a rotation there.
So does everybody who plays historic baseball play in the same period? Because I know, with the living history sites, people do different time periods, and I know the game changed over the years. So is there a certain year that people go for historic baseball, or are there teams that play different decades?
There are teams that play different decades. By far, though, I would say the 1860 rule seems to be the most popular. Those rules. There are a lot of reenactors that are involved with Civil War reenacting as well, so it kind of does double duty. 1858, town ball rules and also baseball rules is another really popular time period. There are some teams that play later, but, of course, we're playing by 1860 rules, so we don't play those teams as much. But sometimes if there is a team that will play later rules or even earlier rules, if they're playing 58, they also know the 60 rules. So before the game, we'll actually kind of settle on which version of the rules we're going by.
That could be kind of fun, though, if one team followed one decade's rules and one team followed another decade's rules.
It could.
Interesting play.
Oh, it certainly could. But sometimes it's just hard enough to remember the decade that you are playing. So
that's true. So were women allowed to play on regular teams in the 19th century in baseball?
No, they were not. In 1866, there is a I've seen a photograph of a women's baseball club at Vassar College, And so this was a club that was formed at the college, young ladies. It's a really interesting picture because they're all wearing certainly the fashions of the day, but they have on baseball belts and baseball hats. So they were very much interested in playing, but they were playing just amongst themselves. And it went on for a couple of years, but then the college disbanded the club because they got letters from home complaining that their daughters were engaging in unladylike activities. So then, as far as formal play, there's not, this is going on kind of around the edges. But then when we get into the 1890s, there is what they call a bloomer league of women that are playing baseball at this time. A lot of times, though, the team will have a male pitcher and a male catcher, and then the rest of the players will be females. And then they will travel around taking on all male teams, sort of as a novelty.
And that kind of concept came back again during World War II when all the men were drafted to go to the war and they started having the girls' baseball teams at a professional level. Was there reference back to the earlier teams, or did they treat it like it was just a brand new thing?
You know, I don't know as much about the Women's Baseball League of the 40s, but I think, as I understand it, that was more because so many of the players were being drafted and going to the war that they turned to the women's leagues, you know, the women's to fill out some of those teams. And it really, you know, it seems to be a Midwest phenomenon, you know, with the Rockford Peaches and the Racine Comets and that type of thing.
Do you know of anybody doing a 1940s women's team? Just because it seems to be something that comes up periodically is, you know, kind of a big...
Yeah, actually...
everybody remembers it.
Right. Actually, I do know the Rockford Peaches, the Racine Comets. It's Kenosha Comets, not Racine Comets. Racine Bells. There are some down in the Chicagoland area that have been trying to bring those teams back, and I have seen photographs of some of their games.
Okay, well, what if you were somebody who wanted to just come out and watch a historic baseball game? How can they find one that's close to them?
Oh, sure. There is an organization called the Vintage Baseball Association, and they have a website, and you can go on to their website, and they can let you know of teams in the area. And a lot of times, sometimes they'll have they might have a link to the websites, and then their games might be on those websites. So that's one way of finding them. For us particularly, we do have, if you go to our website for Wade House Historic Site, our schedule is on there as well. That's probably the best way to find teams that you know, in an area and with games.
So where does your team play? Do you play on like a modern field, or is there one that's a little bit different that you play on?
Sure. We actually play out at Wade House Historic Site, and we just play on a big open field. 1860, it's the game is evolving, but nothing is really formalized. It's played in big open field. The space between the bases is 90 feet, which is the same as what it is today, but it doesn't really, no stands, not even benches for the teams to sit on or anything like that. So pretty informal. But we have there was a article in a local newspaper when I was doing some research Again, in 1871, when they played their first game, they talk about how it was kind of rainy, so the crowd wasn't real big. There were only 500 that showed up for the game that day.
Yeah. So if somebody comes out now, are there usually like bleachers for them to sit in, or should they
be
chairs or blankets?
Well, we do have some bleachers, not a lot, but we do have some bleachers that are out there. But people are more than welcome to bring chairs if they like, or blankets, you bet.
How formal are the fields that you're playing in? So are there going to be places where there's like bathrooms available? And if somebody wanted to buy a hot dog or some popcorn while they're watching, there'll be a place to do it? Or is it more like bring your own stuff?
Well, again, depending on where we play, at Wade House, we do have some bathrooms that are available to the public, and except for the May game, we do have concessions. We have volunteers that come out and cook up hot dogs and have sodas and those types of things available. Sometimes when we go and play some away games, we really are just playing on an open field. So if we have fans that want to come, they'll bring their own chairs, and they might bring sodas and things, or even a picnic lunch.
So as you're going around and playing against other teams, do you find that they're equally worried about being accurate, or are there some teams that try and be super accurate, super in the 1860s, and others are more like, oh, let it be, let them live?
Yes, we find that very much. I sometimes can drive my players a bit crazy in that I really want us to get it as close as we can possibly get to, making to what it might have been like in 1860. But other teams, they're more doing it for the spirit of the game, I would say, possibly. And in some cases, and this is going to sound terrible, some teams it's more like it really is just softball wearing funny clothes. And I don't mean that as a dig, because everybody has their own reasons for playing. But because we're playing at a historic site, and because of my interest in history, I just want us to really follow as close as we possibly can get it to 1860. So in other words, some of the things that we don't do is we don't wear cleats, we don't wear spikes or anything like that, because most of the players didn't have them. There were some instances of players in the period in 1860 where they might take their athletic shoes and have the blacksmith put small metal spikes on the bottom. But, other than that, but again, that's not the majority of the players. So we try to play in just it'd really be great if we had leather-soled shoes, but we sometimes have to cheat with the rubber soles.
So, and this wasn't on the list of things that I sent you that I was going to ask you, so if you don't know, feel free to say no that you don't.
Okay.
But if somebody wanted to read or learn what the rules were in 1860 and wanted to, find out really what was going on, is there a go-to source that you would send them to?
Yeah, absolutely. The one what we use for all of our games is Beatles Dime Baseball Book. Beatles published all kinds of different books for a dime back in the period of 1860. And one of the books that they published was the baseball rules that were published by the baseball organization, organizing board. And so those are what we play by. It's hard to find a reproduction of that book. But again, if you go to the Vintage Baseball Association website, they have all of those rules published right up on their website. Plus all of the rules from, like I said, probably 1850 all the way up until probably even 1930 by year, so that you can see how the game has changed over the over time.
Well, that's pretty cool. So if somebody gets into this and they really decide they want to participate and play themselves, how could they find a team?
Again, I would point them to the Vintage Baseball Association. A lot of the vintage teams belong to that site, so that they'll have it listed. You can go to the state that you live in, and then they will have teams that they know of that are listed on there. If we, as a member of the team, they'll put our names up there so that people can get a hold of us. And there's usually a contact person, or at least a website, and then through that you can get a hold of that team, hopefully, and make some sort of a contact. I know some teams will have open auditions in the spring, but, you know, they're always up for, you know, someone contacting. And then, of course, there's always the possibility that if there's not a team in your area and you're really gung-ho, you could start one yourself.
So would you say that there have been a lot of teams formed in the last few years? Is this sort of a growing sport, or is it just sort of going along about at the same level of participation?
You know, well, that's a good question. I would say it's growing. I don't know. We don't travel as much as some teams do, so I don't necessarily see teams from all the other states, but vintage baseball has been around for a long time, and boy, some states in Illinois and Ohio, they just have just all kinds of teams. Well, even Minnesota, it seems like they're adding teams all the time. So yeah, I would say that it's definitely growing.
Well, I think that's sort of the impression I have, too. I mean, you're a lot more into it than I am, but we started hearing about it a lot more, I would say, in the last couple of years. And I think it sounds like a really cool thing to do.
I would definitely agree. It has been, I have certainly enjoyed it. I've been involved with living history, doing, my dad was a Civil War reenactor when I was a kid, and then, you know, I've been working at this, at Wade House for a couple of years, and my husband has always been very supportive, but it was just not his thing, and he always said, no, you know, I'll always support you, but don't ever expect me to dress up in funny clothes. And I said, that's fine. But when I said I was going to form a baseball team, he said he'd love to play. And so he's been one of my captains ever since. And all three of my boys have played on the team at some point. And so it's, for us, it's really become a family affair. And we have just, besides the history, besides getting it out there and sharing it with people, it's just been a lot of fun.
I really think it kind of represents the spirit of the game, too, because so many times people talk about baseball and the professional baseball today and how it's really lost a lot of the things that really made people love baseball, that really made it the national pastime. And I think this is sort of getting back to some of that roots. I think it's good for the game that this is going on.
I agree. When in 1860, they called it a gentleman's game. It was all amateur. If anyone was caught playing, paying players, it was, you know, that was, you were thrown out of the sport. It was just a real disgrace. And you were expected to behave on the field. You know, there was no spitting, no cursing. You were supposed to settle disputes yourself without yelling and screaming. If you did that, you could be fined or thrown out of the game. So I'm with you 100%. It really was, these guys, they were playing for the love of the game. And, you know, all of that other ugly stuff was not there at the beginning.
So what would you say that players get most out of participating in this? So, like, if they had a choice between being in a local, just regular baseball league and doing historic baseball, what do they get more out of doing the historic baseball?
Well, I think if you've got an interest for history or something that's a little bit different and interacting with the public, I think that's what we can offer. It does give you a real, you know, every time you play a game, no matter you know how many times you play it, we're sharing something new, or we're sharing with new crowds or new people, and it's something that can pull people. It gives them a connection to history as well. They may really love baseball but never thought about you know, the history of it or how it has changed over the time, and then that may get them to think about other things that were going on at the time as well. And I just think it's just a really nice gateway into the past that way.
Okay, well, we are getting close to the end of the half hour. I always tell people it goes really quick. And but I thought maybe you just want to say something briefly about Wade House, and so just let people know a little bit about your site.
Oh, sure. That would be great. Wade House is a 1850s Stagecoach Inn that was built in Greenbush, Wisconsin. It was run by the Wade family, and members of the Wade House or the Wade family lived in the house until 1941, and in 1953, it became a state historic site. So we have the Wade House Inn has been there all this time, and we have it now open for tours. We do programming there. One of the fun things we do is off season we do hearthside dinners, where we have guests that will come in, and we have a menu, and they all will pick a different recipe that they will prepare in our kitchens, and then we'll all sit down and eat them. You know, family style. We also do a Civil War reenactment at the end of September every year. We do history day camps during the summer, plus just a lot of other fun historic programming. We have a Muley sawmill on the site as well. It's a saw that runs up and down instead of a circular saw. It is a reconstruction, but it's built on the actual foundation of the first sawmill, which was built by the Wade family again in the 1850s. We also have a working blacksmith shop, and we also have a carriage museum that contains over 100 different horse-drawn vehicles from about the 1850s up to 1910.
And if they want to find out more about the Wade House, you want to go ahead and give the website, or should
sure.
they just search for Wade House?
No, well, they can do that, but we also have a website at wadehouse.org.
Okay. Well, thank you always so much, ever so much for coming on, Betsy. I think we learned a lot about historic baseball, and hopefully this will get you some new recruits at least to come out and see the game, because I just really think it is an amazing thing that you guys are doing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We really enjoy it, and we would love to have anyone come and see a game and maybe also see the rest of our site. That would be wonderful.
Well, thanks. And, oh, and I just want to mention, because this is my favorite thing, Betsy, in my opinion, should have won the Lincoln costume contest at Mumsey this spring, because she dressed up as Lincoln's mother, who died of milk sickness and carried a glass of milk around all night. I think she should have won just for that.
Oh, thanks. That was a lot of fun.
It was great. But I better stop that, because I'm going to start coughing here in a minute. Thank you for coming
okay.
on the show, Betsy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Okay. And everybody else, I hope that you'll come back real soon for another episode of Travel Times and the other episodes here at Trundle Bed Tales.